couch potatoes across the country, around the world, on the radio and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
We've got a loaded show this week. We're heading into that time where they're releasing not just big movies, they're also releasing award film movies.
Right, the little ones.
Movies that they're hoping will get some buzz and build up and eventually get awards for people dead and alive.
And this is when it gets a little messy for us, because we never know when to talk about these movies.
Yeah, because the way movies are released, they're either released wide and everybody gets them at once, or they start in some cities and go to other cities. They have this sort of rock and roll show release.
Yeah.
And we've got a couple of those. But the ones we're going to be talking about, the big ones, the new ones this week, are Prisoners, of course, the big, huge Jackman movie.
Nice.
The Battle of the Year.
The big Chris Brown movie.
The Chris Brown movie, and we hope it's a hit.
Nice.
Dun-dun-dun. Thanks for Sharing and Enough Said. Those are both little smaller movies. We're going to talk a little bit about The Little Mermaid. We got an interview with Jodie Benson, who plays the voice of The Little Mermaid, coming up. We've got some news and DVDs and Blu-rays reviews we're going to be talking about in a little bit.
If we get to them.
I know. Goodness gracious. But right now, if you want to get a hold of us, you can email us at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You can leave us voicemail at 740-205-6456. That's 740-205-6456. You can go to fatguysatthemovies.com or facebook.com/FGATM. If you want to reach out to me on Twitter, you can find me at twitter.com/KevinCarr.
And I'm Katie K. Reviews.
Now, before we move into the bevy of material we've got for the show, I want to give a little bit of a shout out to some of our new affiliates out there.
Yes.
Welcome to WKVL, the voice of Knoxville, talk radio AM 850. There's also WBCF, the talk of North Alabama, News Talk 97. There's also in Arcadia, Florida, WFLN, welcome, and News Talk 730 KYYA in Billings, Montana.
Hello to all of you.
We are taking over the world
one
city at a time.
One station at a time.
Getting fatter and fatter and fatter and fatter.
Really?
Not you.
Hmm.
You need to start eating more butter.
Thanks, Paula Deen.
I'll give you a couple sticks of butter. I just watched Cool Hand Luke.
Okay.
Where he eats 50 eggs.
Yes.
You should eat 50 eggs.
I should eat 50 eggs.
I'll eat 50 eggs next week, the day before I come into the magical studio.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
You don't want that to happen.
No.
All right. Well, you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We're going to start off with some interviews we have with Jodie Benson. You can hear the whole interview, the full interview, over at Fat Guys at the Movies, the website. But I had a chance to chat with her a little bit because they're doing a release of Little Mermaid this week.
Yeah, it's a small one.
Very limited. So our friends in Knoxville, you can check this one out because they're showing it in Knoxville in like, that's one of the theaters, like in 15 theaters.
And not many at all, no.
No, or 15 cities.
Mm-hmm.
But this is where you're allowed to bring in your iPad and watch the movie with your kids. And that's sort of the point of it. It's the second screen experience.
Yay.
Second Screen Live is going to be really fun. Shot that a few weeks ago and get to have a great time getting in there with your iPad and following all the fun directions. It's going to be really neat. I'm excited about that.
This is her talking about. I mean, it's very general.
Yeah. You know,
enjoy it. It'll be fun. They filmed something for it.
Yeah.
Are you bothered by the second screen experience?
A little bit, yes.
Okay,
I think it's just the coming of the apocalypse.
Here's why I don't have a problem with it for this, is because that's what it's for.
It's true.
You know, it's
you're encouraged to do it. But at the same time, it just opens that door. To me, it's just like, oh, well, we can bring our iPad into this movie?
Yeah.
Oh, well, we'll bring our iPad into the next movie, too, and we'll play on it while we're watching our movie.
Well,
you know, we'll update Facebook.
I've heard somebody, I saw somebody, Robert Fury, who writes for Film School Rejects, he made the point, and he actually made a good point, not necessarily about The Little Mermaid, because he's much more of a horror film guy.
Mm-hmm.
He made the point, he's like, if it's a movie you've seen a dozen times, and it's been out for 25 years, and you're bringing it as a re-release, he can understand that. And I think that makes sense. I think it dovetails better into a DVD and Blu-ray release.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it'll come out in Blu-ray in the beginning of the next month.
Yay!
So then you
I'm kind of sad that it's not opening here, because I'd love to see it again in 3D.
Yeah. On the big screen.
Yes.
Just a couple other notes from Jodie Benson. When I took my, I told my son, Nick, who's 5, I said, well, I'm going to be talking to the Little Mermaid today. Is there anything you want to say? And, you know, being a 5-year-old boy, he's
like, say, yuck, because that's what I can see him saying.
Don't you know I hate mermaids?
Nice.
I hate princesses.
I can totally hear him saying that.
I told that to Jody. Here's what she said.
Oh, that's okay. You know what? It's all right. He's a little boy. He's 5 years old. He doesn't have to like princess stuff. It's okay. But, you know, maybe what he would enjoy in it is Flotsam and Jetsam, and he'd enjoy Ursula, and he'd enjoy, like, the battle scene. So you can just say, hey, we're going to fast forward through the girly stuff, and we'll get to the nitty-gritty, action-packed part of the film. Just close your eyes for the other part.
She makes a good point. There's some fun things.
Oh, yeah, there's plenty of stuff in there.
Yeah. It's just getting past the whole Disney princess thing.
There's a little bit of kissing. But other than that, it's okay.
A little bit of kissing. But, you know, it's not too flowery and goofy. It's actually one of the better, you know, whereas if you look like Cinderella and Sleeping Beauties, those
have... Oh, yeah, those are really, really fluffy.
Very flowery, especially mm-hmm. Snow White.
Yeah. These have great characters. The Little Mermaid, all the characters are wonderful. I love Sebastian.
He's great.
Sebastian's great.
And the music is great. I love Les Poissons.
Oh, now that song is in my head for the rest of the day. Because I will sing that. I will sing that the rest of the day. Thanks for that.
It's like a 2-minute song.
My husband thanks you for that.
Oh, nice.
Because I will sing it at dinner now.
And then the final thing I asked her, because here's the thing. Disney owns The Little Mermaid.
Mm-hmm.
They own Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
They own Star Wars.
Yeah, so naturally.
I'm just expecting at some point there's going to be Ariel joining the Avengers and fighting with the Jedi against the Sith.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know. That'd be fun, wouldn't it? That would be fun.
It wasn't the response I was exactly hoping to get from...
What did you want her to say?
I wanted her to say yes, and it's coming out next week.
Nice.
Because they're joining... Phineas and Ferb is joining the Marvel.
Which was awesome.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
I didn't get a chance
to see awesome.
It. Awesome. I'm waiting for the DVD.
It was so awesome.
I don't watch television.
Okay, you don't watch television.
I do watch television. Anyways... That's what you have. Little Mermaid is out in second screen in like 15 theaters. Knoxville's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So go check it out or wait till the Blu-ray comes out in a couple weeks. Let's move on. Let's hit some news. Speaking of Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Not a huge revelation, but the point is that they're announcing they're going to be doing prequels.
Mm-hmm.
Even more. But
a
more
bunch
origin.
Of them.
Origin movies. Han Solo's going to get one.
And they're saying that there's going to be a new Star Wars movie every single year.
Yeah.
So there you have it. If, you know... You love a lot of Star Wars. There you go.
But that's how Disney works.
It is how Disney works. But, you know, if you feel that some things are sacred, maybe you'll be a little disappointed with that.
I think what I actually like about it is I hope this sort of pulls away all the, this is sacred, you can't mess with it, because you do enough of it, then you can just pick and choose the ones you like.
If you mess with it enough, then it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Marvel's the same way. We're getting one or two or three Marvel movies a year now.
Sometimes, yeah.
So. Speaking of Disney, Pixar is moving...
The Good Dinosaur,
yeah.
Which was supposed to come out next summer,
mm-hmm.
which there's a Pixar movie... Every summer, it comes out like the end of May or in June, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Now it is not coming out next year, and this is crazy. So it's coming out. It's been bumped to 2015.
Yeah, which is nothing else is coming out that.
Well, no, nothing's happening that summer. So that means that next year there'll be no Pixar movie for the first time since 2005.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I think Disney has so much stuff they're juggling now
mm-hmm.
with Star. Now that they're ramping up Star Wars, they've got Marvel in full swing. Pixar is you don't need that. You don't need that movie to make all the money for Disney.
No, you don't. But it's just one of those things. It's Pixar. It's summer.
Yeah.
We get a Pixar movie every summer. What's wrong? Come on.
We'll see what happens.
Or maybe the movie just really needs help.
Yeah, that's possible.
It could happen.
But they've revamped them before. Toy Story and Toy Story 3 were completely redone.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them. So
we'll see.
I'm sure it'll be charming and wonderful.
And really, of all years to skip having a Pixar movie. I mean, there's nothing coming out next summer.
No, it's all coming out in 2015.
Yeah, it's crazy. So bring on the movies next summer. Come on.
We only got about 30 seconds left, but I have to hit this news story.
No.
The genius that is known as Jaden Smith went on a Twitter rant about schools and how stupid they are and how babies are geniuses. It's an amazing story, and I encourage people to read it. Here's some of the quotes. Just we're going to leave you on these. Okay, ready? Quote. All capitalized, too.
Hmm.
People used to ask me what you want to do be when I get older, and I would say that's a stupid question. The real question is, what am I right now?
Mm.
Spoken like a 15-year-old.
Deep.
School is a tool to brainwash the youth. Education is rebellion. If newborn babies could speak, they could be the most intelligent beings on planet Earth.
It's true.
Apparently, he thinks Baby Geniuses was a documentary. And on that note, we got to go. We're going to talk about some movies in the next segment.
There's no need to argue. Parents just don't understand.
I could while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. And my head I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer.
And Jaden Smith.
Yeah, Kevin is still recovering from the brilliance that is Jaden Smith.
Can I read one more quote from Jaden Smith?
Please do.
His brilliant Twitter feed. If everybody in the world dropped out of school, we would have a much more intelligent society. Everybody get off your phones and go do what you actually want to do. Here's my question. What if you want to be on your phone?
It's true. Maybe Jaden Smith should get off his phone.
Maybe Jaden Smith should just get on his phone and like play Cut the Rope or something like that and delete his Twitter app.
Yes.
All right, what's next?
Which actually, that leads into another interesting point that you made this week.
Uh-huh.
That Mark Wahlberg actually got his high school diploma this week.
Yes, bucking the system.
Congratulations to Mark Wahlberg.
And Mark Wahlberg has now thrown in the face of
yeah.
Jaden Smith.
Take that, Jaden Smith. I'm going to graduate from high school.
He actually, yeah. So good for
Say
Mark
Say hello
Wahlberg.
To your mom.
Yeah. So awesome. You should have done it in a Boston accent. You're from Boston.
I can. I'm not from Boston. I used to live there. I can turn on my Boston accent if I need to, but I'm not going to right now because I know that I will never live it down.
If you got to yell at kids on your lawn.
No, then I get all Clint Eastwood. Stay off my lawn.
Oh, heavens. Let's not talk about Clint Eastwood with this next movie.
Let's talk about movies, shall we? The first one up is Battle of the Year. Lost Josh Holloway stars as the man tasked with assembling a team of dancers to bring the coveted Battle of the Year trophy back to the States.
From Korea.
Now the Koreans are the best. It's over. An American crew hasn't won a battle in the last 15 years. Our kids were the best. But now we got to do something extreme to get back on top. I want you to coach my crew.
I was a basketball coach.
You have heart, and that's what I need.
Record books are filled with teams that didn't get along.
Messing me up, bro.
Let's run it again.
I think we need a choreographer.
Give me the best. She's a girl, so you get the best.
This sounds riveting.
What's amazing is not only are the Koreans bad guys in Red Dawn, they're the bad guys in Battle of the Year. This movie... It's like step up, ate the news headlines and then threw up, and this is the movie you got. Not only did they not screen this for press, with big surprise there, they didn't just screen it. It wasn't even shown on Thursday night. Normally, everything opens that night. Before.
Oh yeah, even at midnight.
Not if it's Battle of the Year.
No, not enough interest.
I think that. You know, but, you know,
but
I think
Chris Brown is in it.
Well,
so
Screen Gems is hoping that
there's that
he'll beat
nice.
The competition.
I knew these were coming.
Anyways, we got other movies to talk about. Do we even want to talk any more about Battle?
No. Preemptive suck. Let's just move on.
Preemptive suck. When you got to bring in Chris Brown and the guy from Lost.
In a dance movie.
Yeah.
The guy from Lost.
Yeah.
First of all, I feel bad for that guy from Lost. Somebody go out and buy him, like, a McDonald's value meal, because seriously, he must be hurting.
He must be. Because then we said, well, we got Chris Brown in the dance movie. Who do we have next? Who's available? Well, it's Pauly Shore or Josh Holloway. Well, got to go with Josh Holloway for that one.
I would have picked Pauly Shore.
So they should have had Rihanna.
And Richard Simmons.
That would be great.
Richard Simmons. We ran into him in the airport like a year ago. It was hilarious.
Oh, really?
In Columbus.
Was he wearing short shorts?
He totally was.
Really?
And it was like 6 o'clock in the morning.
He walks around like that.
Yeah, and he was the most happy person in the airport. It was insane.
Oh, my heavens.
I kind of wanted a little bit of what he was on at that moment.
Well, you know, he's not in Battle of the Year, and
which is
that's
unfortunate.
A shame. Let's move on.
Let's talk about something else.
Yep. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. Next movie we're going to talk about is Prisoners. The daughters of two families are kidnapped on Thanksgiving Day, leading to a manhunt and vigilante justice.
Well.
I suddenly made it sound like a Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
And monster
Come
trucks.
To the Expo Center.
Where are your sisters?
I can't find them.
Anna? Joy?
Wait, I checked the entire house. They're not here.
Dad, there was this RV, and they were playing on it. We thought there was someone inside.
I'm going to find your daughter.
What in the world did you do?
Someone has to make him talk, or they're going to die.
I know you know where they are.
Where's my daughter?
I know you have a lot to say about Prisoners. You take the first one. Here's your baseball bat. Knock it out of the park.
You know, I was really kind of dreading seeing this movie.
Okay.
Because, you know, I am the mother of a little girl whose name happens to be Anna, which is the name of the daughter who goes missing in this movie.
Oh, no.
And I thought it was going to be just brutal, like nonstop, emotionally draining, brutal film. And I just didn't feel it. Hmm? I was really surprised that I didn't feel just beaten through this whole movie.
Was it, and I'm not putting words in your mouth, but I'm questioning.
Yeah.
Was it because it's told completely from a male's perspective? Because it's about the fathers. The mothers go kind of catatonic halfway through. And
well, Maria Bello does.
Yeah, she certainly does.
Which I think that was a hard thing for me too, because I was like, okay, I can understand. But at the same time, get over it. Get up and do something.
It's been a week.
And find your child. You know? I get it. It sucks, but go find your kid.
Okay.
And, but no, I could kind of understand, you know, Hugh Jackman. I like Terrence Howard and I don't normally like him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was good. I just didn't feel the emotional connection to it as much.
Okay.
So, I don't know. And for me, this movie, I decided the next movie that this is a walk of shame movie.
Okay.
It's one of those things that it's easy enough to get caught up into it while you're in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it seems okay at the time. But then the next morning you get up and you're like, oh. And there are so many regrets and so many things that are wrong that you're like, oh, that's so frustrating. There were so many things that came up. I'm like, that didn't make any sense at all.
It was the half gallon of rocky road you ate before you fell asleep the night before.
That too, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I didn't hate the movie. I didn't think it was great.
I didn't hate it either.
It's gotten huge buzz from Toronto.
And that's why I don't understand it. Because, I was walking in waiting for something really good.
Yeah.
And I love Hugh Jackman. Mm-hmm. And he's good, but,
He plays a bit against type.
Yeah.
A bit.
Yeah, but it just, it wasn't anything that blew me away.
It's a very slow burn.
Mm-hmm.
It's sometimes too deliberate. I mean, it's a long movie. It probably could be
shorter.
It is
very long.
I like the setup and I like the approach.
Mm-hmm.
About halfway through, it falls. Then it kind of falls in cliche, because in any kidnapping movie, you got to have the mom breaking down at one point. You got to have the detective getting mad and throwing things around.
You got to have all
these.
Keyboard.
Yeah, you got to have all these bits and pieces. And then in the end, I'm not going to spoil anything, but it does get a little silly.
Yeah.
At points, it's not the best written.
There are so many things in this movie that they try to make really deep and profound.
Yeah.
And you're like, but you just mentioned that in passing. And it just doesn't work in everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jake Gyllenhaal's character, they make some kind of a reference to, like, he grew up in a boys' home.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all you get. You have no idea who he is or what he's doing or why he's so angry.
And he's mad because his sister was blown up in The Dark Knight.
It's true.
I think that's what it was.
That could make you mad.
I don't know. I mean, I liked it. I mean, for me, it's a kind of rocks movie, and I recommend people see it because I know there's a lot of people that are going gaga over this.
Mm.
I don't think it's a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's releasing at the right time.
Oh, yeah.
Because if it was another month and a half,
oh no,
people would forget about it because it would be lost in the shuffle.
I'm going to forget about it, too.
What's your final grade on it?
I'm going to say it kind of sucks.
Okay. No, I can hear that. But yeah, warning. It's not an action movie.
No.
And it does. It's a conversation starter, even if the conversations are, I don't think things work that way.
Yeah.
But there you go. We got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk Enough Said, and thanks for sharing.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
The one thing you got to watch out for,
uh-oh.
I'll tell you this. One thing you got to be watching out for Prisoners.
Yes.
And I said this to you earlier. You go in the movie and you got to look around and wonder who's there getting advice. Who's there saying, don't do this when you're trying to kidnap kids.
It's true.
And you've been in theaters. You look around.
I've been in theaters a couple times.
Creepy people.
Especially at our screenings.
Yeah.
Yeah. I miss some of them. Yeah. We had the one guy who looked kind of homeless with the hair.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
He started our website that we were going to have called HoboCritic.com.
We should still do HoboCritic.com. Mm-hmm. What was the name that we bestowed upon him?
Chester. Chester. Which is funny because that's my dad's name.
No. I met your dad. I've never thought of him as Chester. I've always thought of him
Chet.
As...
Chet. Yeah.
Chet.
Mm-hmm.
How sweet.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, should we keep talking about movies?
Yes, let's talk about the next one.
We have a couple of limited releases that we can talk about.
Yep.
The next one up is Enough Said. Mm. Julia Louis-Dreyfus stars as a single mom who begins a new relationship only to discover that she's dating her new friend's ex-husband.
Spoiler.
Now that's messy.
You know, my friend Eva was just telling me that there is not one guy at this party that she's attracted
what?
To.
It's okay, there's no one here I'm attracted to either.
All right, great.
Some guy you met at the party wants your number.
So what about you? Do you have a boyfriend?
Yeah.
What's he like?
He's funny and comforting.
Want a kiss?
And sexy to me.
Yeah. My ex-husband and I have zero in common, and I was completely repulsed by him sexually.
Oh, God, no. Just a sec.
Marianne, please pick up the phone.
Albert!
It's not a spoiler. It's in all the promos. And it's pretty obvious right from the beginning. You're like, oh, yeah, I know where this is going. Not in a good direction.
So what do you think of this movie?
I find it a little bit refreshing.
Okay.
I mean, because it's not the usual Hollywood romance. And that's, you know, the director also did Please Give, which is another kind of an indie thing with Catherine Keener. Because Catherine Keener's, you know, always in this role.
Okay.
Like, the boho, she's a poet.
I've never seen the director's other stuff.
Oh, you haven't?
And other okay. critics I know are like, oh, I love her, and she's great. And
yeah, like, it's all right. Yeah. Please Give was okay. I don't know. Some people have stronger opinions of it than I do. I kind of liked it. Kind of like this, you know. Although the characters here are a lot
sounds
better.
Sounds so committed to that one. I kind of liked it. It was okay.
It's all right. But, yeah, it's more honest and more real than the normal Hollywood romance. Because normally, you know, you have a Twilight movie. It's like, oh, I can't live without you. And these, you know, they're grown-up characters who have their own lives. And I find that refreshing, that it's a real relationship.
Yeah.
It gets a little irritating when you go into the same old, oh, well, I've got a secret and I'm not telling it and I shouldn't say anything. I really should, but I can't.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that is a little cliche. And that's unfortunate for this one.
It's hard to get away from that, though.
It's true.
In a romance.
Yeah.
I thought Julia Louis-Dreyfus was fine in it, but I felt she was out of her depth a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she can carry a movie.
No, I agree.
I mean, she was great in Seinfeld, and she's been great in a lot of things, but I don't
she
think
does
she's
very... come out as Elaine every once in a while in this movie. You hear, oh, yeah, that's Elaine.
There we are. There's Elaine if she
there
moved.
There she is.
She moved from New York to L.A., got married, got divorced, and then became a masseuse.
There you have it. But James Gandolfini
he's great.
Is in it, and he is remarkable. He is so sweet and so funny and so easygoing.
And it's so against his type.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's nice to see him do a movie where he's not a gangster or a military guy or just some tough guy.
Right.
And he's very warm and fuzzy.
He is. I loved him. I just wanted to walk up there and give him a hug.
I am actually predicting that he's going to be picking up a bunch of nominations, not just because it's a good role, but because he died this year. And there is that. And it is sort of this very differentiating role where I, you know, unfortunately happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right? It is released right after he passed.
And I can totally see that. I mean, I have my own little spreadsheet that I keep track of all my reviews.
Spreadsheets for everything.
I do. I'm kind of obsessive about things like that. But I have my little spreadsheet, and whenever I finish a review, I kind of make some notes on it. And because we have all of our award nominations coming up, I make notes of who deserves a nomination, and I put him on my list. So I think he does a great job in this one.
And that's the standout performance.
Oh, definitely.
I think. I mean, it does get a bit irritating. We've seen a lot of these movies of so-and-so at whatever age trying to navigate dating in Los Angeles. You know, you had Greenberg, Cyrus. I was making a list. I'm watching the movie. I'm making a list. I remember this movie and this movie and this. And they're all like, oh, we want to make LA a character. I did get irritated with the characters a bit in this, but probably because there are a certain amount of reality. And I hate people anyways.
It's true.
So... What's your grade?
I'm going to say it kind of rocks.
I'm going to say it kind of rocks, too.
All right.
So let's move on to the next one. This one is Thanks for Sharing, in which Mark Ruffalo, Tim Robbins, and Josh Gad star as three sex addicts in various stages of recovery trying to develop their romantic relationships. Not with each other, just with their significant others.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Adam. Sex addict.
Hi, Adam.
I am grateful to be sober today. Thanks for letting me share.
I'm proud to be your sponsor.
There's a lot of dudes in here. Wait, you're not an alcoholic, are you?
I'm not an alcoholic.
You know, if it keeps going well, you gotta tell her, right?
Is that a sobriety medallion?
I'm out of control.
No subway, no internet.
Okay. You have to do whatever it takes.
Who are you talking to?
What?
Let me see your phone.
Maybe this isn't gonna work without a little bit of trust.
All right. Do you want to have first crack at this one, too?
I'm gonna let you take this one, okay, because I think it'll be more fun if you do.
Here's the thing. It's first of all, sex addiction tends to be one of those. It's getting a lot of play in movies recently.
Has it?
Well, yeah, because they had Shame come out a couple years ago.
Well, yeah, there's that.
And you have this, and isn't Don John, which is coming up, is sort of borderlining on the subject too?
I have no idea.
I think maybe there's a little bit of that. I don't know if it's as overtly about that. Mm-hmm. What I did like about this is it's about recovery. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily, and it's about addiction, but it's not marginalized as comedy completely. There are parts where it does get there.
Yeah.
Mostly with Josh Gad's character, because yeah, he's the most weird.
He is, yes.
But it doesn't just throw it away as a joke. It doesn't, it also doesn't get too heavy. It's very mainstream, yeah, unlike Shame, which is,
right.
I mean,
I think it's an eye-opening film. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not one of the, it's one of those things that, you know, when somebody, like David Duchovny, a few yeah, years back, went into rehab for sex addiction. Everybody's like, is that real? But, you know, this movie does kind of make it real.
And then he did the show Californication.
Right.
Which, that plays it up more for the comedy angle.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, that it gives you a look at what these people go through,
mm-hmm,
what somebody who's struggling with this addiction and what is involved in it. I mean, they show how, you know, they can't take the subway because there are too many people in close surroundings.
Depends on the person. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Or, you know, how Mark Ruffalo's character is away on business in a hotel and he has to have them remove his TV from his room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are interesting things that you never really think about, but they're around you all the time.
Yeah. I think, no pun intended, I think it's a sobering look,
mm-hmm,
at this subject. And it's, even though it's about sex addiction, it's about addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what it is. It's about addictions and addicts, because Tim Robbins' character is addicted to everything.
Yeah.
I mean, and they don't beat you over the head with it, but every
right,
now they throw it in and they're like, oh yeah, he did this and he does this. He does scratch offs and he drinks and it's, so this is all the stuff, and he's sort of the guru.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of kicked all of the stuff, but he has to be so immersed in it,
mm-hmm,
that he can't let go of the programs.
Mm-hmm.
And what you can poo-poo the 12-step programs all you want, but there are certain people that find recovery from that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's good. I think it's good that they're not doing it as a joke.
Yeah. I think it's a really interesting movie. Something that isn't the same old addiction movie. It's
yeah,
not Flight.
No.
You know?
Oh, man.
It's actually, it's light, but it's honest, and it's something you haven't seen before. And the characters, yeah, for the most part, Josh Gad, like you said, is kind of out there.
Well, but I found his character to be the most likable.
Yes. He has a wonderful transformation,
yeah,
you know, because the others, it's Mark Ruffalo and Tim Robbins. I mean, you love them anyway.
Well, and plus Mark Ruffalo's with Gwyneth Paltrow, and it was just so hard to get past. Well, wait, there's Bruce Banner and Pepper Potts? What's Tony Stark going to say?
You know, that never crossed my mind.
Well, that's because it's me.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when there's sex involved, and I'm like, oh, what if he hulked out right now?
Nice.
Turned green and threw her across the room, and then suddenly the Iron Man suit would pop on her body.
I see.
That's. I think this is a prequel to Avengers 2.
Nice.
Anyways.
Anyway, so what's your grade of this one?
I'm going to give it a kind of rocks.
I know too.
I loved Shame,
mm-hmm,
because I thought Shame was so unflinching,
mm-hmm,
but this one's way more mainstream.
Yes. I'm going to say it kind of rocks too.
Yeah. So, you're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We're going to be going to a break, and in the next segment, we're going to be talking about box office and DVD reviews.
All that fun stuff.
All that good stuff. So, we'll catch you guys in a couple minutes. Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer, Kramer, and Kevin Carr.
Hello.
Let's talk about box office.
It's insane.
It was crazy.
Seriously, nobody predicted this.
Well, we predicted Insidious Chapter 2 was going to win.
Yes, but nobody saw these numbers coming.
Not that I did 35, so I was close. But even went over that, which I thought was an out there number.
Yeah.
In a lot
when
of
you
ways.
Said that, I was like, 35? Really?
And you said 25, which is a completely legitimate number. I mean, it's September.
Yeah. And what, it's a sequel to a horror movie coming out in September.
The only thing I think that really kind of gave it the prominence of being a scary movie to go see in a group was it opened on Friday the 13th.
Yep.
And that's, oh, speaking of Friday the 13th, I watched all the Friday the 13th movies this weekend.
I know you did.
All of them.
Mm-hmm.
You should do that sometime.
I should.
Yes, you should. And you should.
See, the problem is I can't get anyone to watch them with me.
Oh,
because
really?
My husband won't watch scary movies.
He doesn't like scary movies.
Right. So that's one of those things that I always have to watch them when he's away, which is never a good idea.
Could you, like, I have a Jason mask. Can I give you a Jason mask? And then for the rare times when you're actually both asleep because you're not, your daughter's not having problems in the middle of the night, waking you up. And just, like, wake up the next, and just have it on and roll over. And see what he does.
It's not that it scares him. He just doesn't like him.
He's like, I don't like blood and killing.
Yeah, I don't know. He just has no interest in it. So, yeah, I have to watch those on my own. So it would be a very long, creepy weekend if I had to watch those all by myself.
It's a lot. There's a lot of breasts in those movies. I forgot. I forgot how much nudity were in
And you
movies.
Said that like it's a bad thing. That surprises me.
Well, no, I mean, I like it. I mean, I mean, you see all types. But what's amazing about it, here's, I'm going to go off on a tangent
about
breasts.
Opportunity.
Well, but this is what's neat. We're watching him, and it's not until, like, Freddy versus Jason, or I think Freddy versus Jason, or maybe it was Jason X. It was one of the later ones that finally fake breasts show up.
Okay.
And I'm like, wow, they resisted. They were pure, and they stuck to their guns, and they said, we are not going to be doing any of this.
A doctoral dissertation coming up.
Ooh. What am I going to get a doctoral? What's my doctorate going to be in? The study of... of breasts
and
popular
film.
Culture.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I can
think
see
that's
that.
A great idea. Excuse me, can you finish the show? I'm going to go start writing up my thesis right now. Anyways, Insidious Chapter 2 was $40 million, which is a huge number.
It was crazy.
And good for James Wan. I ended up seeing the movie. It was not as good as the first.
Mm-hmm. But that's what I hear. Yep.
It still worked. And then the family came in much, much less at $14
million, mm-hmm.
which was kind of expected. I think some people were thinking it was going to be a huge movie because it was Robert De Niro.
Yeah, but he's had a lot of them lately that people haven't seen.
Yeah, he's not carrying these.
No.
Riddick took a tumble to $6.8 million.
Nah.
And then we're into the Butler came in with only $5.5 million, but it finally cracked $100 million.
There you go.
Good for it. And then you kind of go down the list. Instructions not included, kind of bumped down a little bit, but it's still doing great.
It's still in the top 10. It's
pushing $30 million. And what's interesting with Insidious Chapter 2... The success of it caused Insidious 3 to get greenlit.
Like, over the weekend.
Yeah.
Just all of a sudden. Monday morning, they're like, we are making Insidious 3!
Well, Friday morning's numbers
Surprise.
Are good. Let's go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But James Wan's not directing it because he's
decided that he wants to take a step back from horror films.
I actually saw him tweet about that beforehand. And before this whole thing of, like, was he going to direct the next one?
Mm-hmm.
But he's doing Fast and Furious 7.
Mm-hmm. Which is interesting. I read an article. It was an interview with Patrick Wilson that came out, I don't know, a while back.
Yeah.
And how he was saying that there wouldn't be an Insidious 3 because it just Insidious 2 just ends in a good place and there's just no other direction to take these characters in.
Well, I don't think you need to take... That's the thing. I don't know if they need to take the characters anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the implication is they're going to take Lin Shaye's character... and go off with her and the ghost hunters and do something else.
Yeah,
that's
that makes sense.
Kind of where they go. Because there's only so much you can do with the characters that are actually being haunted.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got these ghost hunters.
I'm sure they've got plenty of stories.
Yeah.
Insidious 47 has just been greenlit.
That's right. There's a couple other things. This is the End also cracked $100 million
mm-hmm.
with The Butler. Almost the same movie.
Now that it's been re-released, yeah.
Elysium is actually, even though it's not doing very well here, it's doing pretty well overseas. Has $233 million worldwide.
Okay.
Which is fine. Not great. And Percy Jackson, not so much, at $165 million worldwide.
Wah, wah.
Poor Percy Jackson. All right. What's your prediction? What are your predictions for this week?
This is a tough one. Okay, give me your number.
My number, $30 million for Prisoners.
Prisoners.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is going to win? You think Battle of the Year? Do you think
totally.
Do you think that Chris Brown is going to smack around the box office?
I don't know. I mean, this has been... a tough month. It's all over the place this month. And Prisoners is okay, but I think I'm going to give it to Insidious.
Oh, you think that's going to do it again?
I'm going to give it to Insidious at 23.
23. Insidious.
I'm going out there on a limb.
All right, we'll see what happens.
Just for fun.
Woohoo. All right, you're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Let's move on to a segment we like to call the world famous
DVD Roundup.
Yeehaw!
Woo-hoo!
Here we go. Let's talk about the first one. This is the big release.
Yes.
And that is World War Z. And if you haven't seen World War Z, you didn't catch it this summer.
I actually have seen it twice.
You did? Why'd you end up seeing it the second time?
Because my husband didn't get to see it the first time, and we had a babysitter, so...
He doesn't like scary movies.
It's not really a scary movie.
Yeah, you got me there.
It doesn't count.
No, you're right. It doesn't.
It's not a blood and guts zombie movie.
It's totally not.
No.
They're the cleanest zombies around.
Yeah.
Anyways, we got a little soundbite of Mark Forster, who directed it, talking about sort of what it's the core of it it's about.
The family is so important because ultimately the one of the most important decisions in the film is based on if he either stays with his family and protects them, or he basically tries to save the world.
Not a horror movie as much.
No, not at all.
As a family movie.
I guess, okay. I wouldn't quite call it that either, but whatever works.
What's interesting with that comment about, you know, about the family and saving his family, it deviates a lot from the book.
Right.
And it deviates a lot from the original ending that was partially shot.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a little bit of a news story that hit this week basically saying you're never going to see the original ending.
Right. Because the original ending was huge and over the top.
Yeah.
And it was this massive battle in Russia, I think, right?
Yeah.
And so it was this huge battle scene. And yeah, you know, there's a lot of CGI involved in that. So they're just not going to finish it. Yeah.
They show clips of it in the movie. They have a little voiceover and they show clips of it. But yeah, the actual ultimate battle. And a lot of people think, well, you know, this is an alternate ending, perfect time. But you're right. It's
there's just too much work and it would cost too much money to finish it.
They're not going to finish it. And they've already made their money for it.
Yep.
So maybe they'll make World War Z 2. And maybe they'll just make the Z look like a 2.
Backwards, like it's...
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Well, that would be World War
Z. If you put the Z kind of, I don't know. I'd have to work on that with my design friends.
Oh, yeah.
It can be done, you know.
I'm sure Paramount's waiting patiently for this.
I have a lot of designer friends. I used to be in advertising.
There you go. Other movies that are out on DVD and Blu-ray, you've got The Bling Ring. Did you get a chance to see that?
I didn't, no.
Yeah. I liked it. And yeah. I'm not a big Sofia Coppola fan.
No, I've heard mixed reviews on that one.
Yeah. It's one of the few movies I really, really liked this summer, just because it showed just the insanity of some people. I'm into that sort of thing. There's also Behind the Candelabra, which is the Liberace docudrama.
With
Kirk Douglas and Matt Damon. There's some TV shows out there. This is the proof that I do watch television.
You do? Really? I had no idea.
Yeah. Grimm, season 2, which isn't a bad show.
Yeah.
It's kind of a little... monstery kind of thing. These are great for, like, because Halloween's coming up.
Right.
You've got Bates Motel season 1, which is sort of a reboot of Psycho. It's not very good, but, you know, hey. Vera Farmiga's really good, and Freddie Highmore does a good job.
What a great cast.
The writing's just not there.
Mm.
Glee season 4.
Your favorite show.
Yeah, my favorite show. The final season with Corey, what's his name, who OD'd.
No.
I'm so sensitive.
That was a great tribute.
I know. That's what they're gonna take this clip and during the Emmys they're gonna throw that in there.
Final season with that one guy.
That guy who overdosed. The guy who everyone's like, oh, he was so young, and he's like 31.
It's
not
true.
Not to say that 31's not.
No, but he was playing a high school kid. So you know, there's that.
So I'm gonna get hate mail now.
All right, that's okay.
Leverage season 5 is also out. Do you like Leverage? You ever watch that show?
No, I've heard a lot about it though, and I've heard it's a great show.
It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun little heist type show. They took some time to get their footing after the first season or so, but like anything, finally kind of hits a stride.
Yep.
There's also The Mentalist season 5. That's a fun show about a mentalist. And it's not a fun show because then it would be a fun The Mentalist, and that's a totally different series.
Nice.
Wow, that was a $10 joke. That cost way too much. There's also Nashville season 1 and Arrow season 1.
Yes.
That's the Green Arrow movie. That probably has nothing to do with the Justice League when that movie ended up getting off the ground with Ben Affleck as Batman. One other final note. The original movies, even though they've been out on Blu-ray before, Dracula, Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein, and The Wolfman are coming out on new Blu-rays.
Right in time for October.
So you can check them out and watch the horror films of yesteryear. I think that's about it. The Stinger of the Week, Showgirls 2, because why?
Really?
Seriously?
That shocks me. I can't imagine that you would give that your Stinger of the Week.
Not even the breasts would take me to see that movie. Anyways, Battle of the Year, Preemptive Suck, Prisoners, I Say Kinda Rocks, You Say Kinda Sucks.
Yep.
Thanks for sharing, Kinda Rocks, both.
Yep.
And Enough Said, Kinda Rocks. We gotta go. Next week we're going to be talking about Rush, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2, Baggage Claim, and Don Jump.
See ya.